Happy Sabbath, brethren. Well, and hello to our brethren and our friends watching on the webcast. Hope everybody's feeling well. Get my timer going here. I hope I have an interesting message for you today. It's interesting to me. You know, there's times when I start preparing a sermonette or a message, and then the subject changes because if you know what it means when you get an impact, an instance, well, it hits you. And you say, this is what God wants me to speak about. Well, some time ago, Mr. Washner gave a sermonette, and he talked about something that all Spokesman's Club members know and people that have taken courses or read about public speaking, it's called an SPS, a specific purpose statement. In his message, he gave Genesis 1:26 as his example. And I'll read that one from the New King James Version for you right here. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the seas, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." I want to distinguish three things to start off. One, the word man here refers to mankind, both male and female. Number two, the words our image and our likeness are similar but different. According to the Word Study Dictionary, which I like a lot, the word image here is used in the sense to depict images cut out of or molded from various materials. Whereas likeness, from the same source, means most often, like Ezekiel uses it, as he describes his visions by comparing what he saw to something similar on the earth. And three, so image is what you see is what you get, and likeness is like a description of something. I'll give you a scripture later that captures likeness perfectly. The title of this message is In the Likeness of God. There's a silver thread to this message. By the end, you'll see the silver lining with gold fringe and substance. Now, the Creator God thought out all details of the creation before time began. That's before the creation of the universe, the physical universe. The mankind is why the physical universe and angels were created. They, God, Elohim, planned all the rules and laws that govern everything that is and what happens within the whole creation, the whole physical creation, to the smallest physical properties, the subatomic levels, to the greatest physical models that we have to observe, like galaxies in the universe. Now, what about the non-physical? They created the instinct or programming within each species of animal, whether an insect, a bird that can fly or not fly, a fish with skeletons or scales, trees, all fauna, all fluids and all gases. God created the emotions and personalities of the animals, man and angels, to display the needs of each living thing, and so much more, including the purpose of everything. Now, God gives animals instinct. He gives mankind and angels free moral agency. A quick AI search, or artificial intelligence, gives us this definition, and I quote, "A free moral agent is an individual who can understand right from wrong and has the autonomy to make their own ethical choices. It is therefore held accountable for their actions. This concept implies that individuals have the freedom to choose to do good or evil, and their decisions are a result of their own will rather than being compelled by an outside force, unquote. Now, we cannot say, the devil made me do it. But we can absolutely know that the devil is very clever and creative in enticing and tempting us to choose wrong choices, and they are our choices alone. That is why the righteous God in heaven can hold each person and angel accountable for the wrong choices and rewards for the right choices. Now, we go through life making uncountable choices every day, an untold number of them. Most are not given a second thought, are they? Many choices are blind habits or motions we go through each day, throughout the day, from the time we wake up to the time we go to bed. Until we are called by God, we are living in darkness, like a blind person who cannot see with their eyes. When God does call us, He is calling us to come out of the darkness into His glorious, righteous light. But we know, each of us individually, that this calling puts us on a journey to reach that glorious light. It's not like a light switch. One moment in darkness, the next moment in glorious light. No, it is clearly obtained, not obtained like that, all right? The journey is not on a smooth path, right? There are many obstacles and setbacks on this journey. Some obstacles, as our jobs, our current status in life, our current groups of friends, our relatives, each of those people are free moral agents. There are mountains we must climb and conquer. There are valleys we sometimes fall into, either led into or fallen to, but almost always consequentially based on our or others' actions or decisions. This journey is hopefully a progress to the goal of the one who is calling us individually. We all have the same goal, one calling us as He desires. And the one calling us is our Heavenly Father. When we realize we are being called, it always leads us to the Bible, His Word. That is what we learn what a calling is and what it means, because His Word, the Bible, tells us. Now, He's calling us. His Spirit is working with our minds, each individually, leading us to His Word so He can tell us what this is all about, life. It's a learning process. It is an overcoming process to rethink our thoughts and our ways, to follow in the footsteps of His Son, the captain of our salvation, Jesus the Christ. Now, as we start this change, the changes we realize the intent and scope of is revealing to us that we love the changes. That is what the Bible refers to as the first love. I hope it's something we can all identify with and will, for those of you who are just beginning this journey. His Word shows us Satan, the devil, is the god of this world, with a little g, and his time is coming to an end. We learn in Matthew chapter 4 the temptations of Jesus after His baptism and going into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. That Satan knows God's Word and cleverly tried to use it to get Jesus to do Satan's will instead of the Father's will. Now, Jesus, testing Jesus to prove He is the Son of God. And finally, with the third temptation, that Satan currently had the power to give to Jesus all the world's kingdoms and their glory to Jesus, if Jesus would bow down and worship Him. We know how Jesus easily shut down every temptation by using the very words from the Scripture, the Word of God, in their proper usage. Satan departed. Yet we know Satan didn't give up on trying to thwart His pending demise and continued to try to stop Jesus. Well, he failed. Nearly 2,000 years ago, he no longer can stop what is coming. In Matthew 11:27 and John 17, verses 25 to 26, Jesus said, he reveals the Father to whom he chooses, the called out ones. As we learn more, we learn that Jesus is a sacrifice, that we need to repent from sinning, which leads us to the decision to commit to God's ways and becoming baptized to receive the gift of his Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands. Now we learned our names are written in the book of life, which is recorded in the third heaven. We learned we must continue overcoming sin and ourselves up until we sleep in death or the seventh trumpet blast at Christ's return. We learned that it is God, the Father, and Jesus living in us in spirit who are baptized. John 14:23 says, and I want you to join me in turning to Malachi now, chapter 3 in verses 2 to 3. Let's read together. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Malachi 3:3 or 3:2 to start. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. Verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. I saw on YouTube a video about a women's group that came across these verses, and they had a discussion, and one of the women volunteered to seek out a silversmith to inquire about refining silver. She found one and asked if she can observe him refining some silver, and he gave permission. So she shows up and she saw him take it with tongs a piece of silver and put it right in the middle of the fire. And he exclaimed that the silver must be in the hottest part of the fire to remove the impurities on the silver and in the silver. She was thinking about how the scripture said he sits as a refiner. And she asked the silversmith, do you have to sit while you're doing this? He says, yes, because I have to pay careful attention to it so that it doesn't stay in there too long or it will be damaged. She says, well, how will you know when it's done? He says, oh, that's easy, when I see my image in there. That's the impact. That's what hit me. Did the light go on for you when you heard that? Now, all mankind has impurities. And those who are called, baptized or not, are being refined at this time, in this era. We in the scriptures refer to the refining process as trials. Now, we all have different kinds of trials in our life. Trials come in different forms. Bad decisions by us or others that affect us, Satan, and his offering of temptations for us. God says he will not allow us to be tempted by more than what we can handle and provides a way out along with that temptation. Free moral agency. We can change our thinking and our ways. We can alter our decisions, just like the young Joseph did with Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. Our Father and Savior are merciful. In Luke 13, 6 through 9, the Father is commenting to Jesus about the fig tree that's, after 3 years of trying to get some fruit, looking for fruit, there's none there. He said, well, the land's being wasted. And Jesus said, well, let me do some watering and fertilizing for another season. Merciful. And Luke, and patient, right? Now, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, right? God took the first step for our salvation, to get us into his kingdom, to be his children. And he's working with us in the fire of life until we're ready. Now, there's two steps to maintain to reach the goal of the kingdom and eternal life. One, maintain the first love. It is diminished. If it is diminished, reclaim it. Nourish it. Remember the time commitment you made without thinking regarding taking every moment you could to learn more, read more, and talk about it more. Remember Luke 10:38 to 42, when Martha complains to Jesus about her sister Mary not helping out. Jesus said, Martha, you're worrying and bothered by a lot of things. Mary is doing what she must do right now. That's a lesson. That's in John 17:3. In summary, we have been called. God is working with us and declares he will never forsake us. He will always be there for his people, giving strength as requested, answering prayers, and looking forward to seeing his children in the New Jerusalem with his name on our foreheads. Now let's finish together in Psalm 66:10. Psalm 66:10. I'll read from the New King James Version again. It says, "For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. Then we shall be in the likeness of God." Have a good rest of the Sabbath, brethren.